Brothers and sisters, today we're continuing with our study of 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 1st through the 5th verse. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter from death row in a Roman prison, and he was awaiting execution. It's a farewell letter to Timothy, whom Paul called his dearly beloved son. Now, Timothy was a young pastor whom Paul had worked with the longest. It was a time of great Christian persecution, and the Apostle Paul felt the need to encourage Timothy to continue in the faith. Paul knew that Timothy would face troubles and dangers in his ministry, and Paul also wanted to warn him of the perils that the church would face. Now, so far in our study of this scripture, we've covered 2/3 of the perils that Paul warned us about. Now today, we'll continue with the remaining 6 perils. Now I want you to remember that Paul, he's talking about Christians in this letter. That's important that you understand that. That's what will make Timothy's ministry so difficult now. God's children will fall into apostasy, and they'll become more and more like the world. You know, that's what apostasy is talking about, a falling away from something that you have. So that's the reason we know that these people that Paul is talking to here is talking to people that are a child of God, who believe the Bible, who believe the things of God, but they are falling away from those things. Now, Timothy will need to be strong in order to keep his flock in the faith and fight the wiles of the devil. I want us to look at our text again before we begin. The Apostle Paul, he writes to Timothy, and he says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." Now, today, we'll begin in the middle of verse 3, and it begins with the word fierce. Fierce. The word fierce means menacingly wild, savage, or hostile, violent in force and intensity. Now, in Timothy's day, Christians were being persecuted, and the persecution became more and more hostile and violent. Now, Christians in New Testament times suffered persecution, mainly from the government and the Jewish leaders. Now, in today's world, Christians are being persecuted in the same way in the Middle East and other parts of the world as well. American Christians have not experienced that kind of persecution yet, but when violent groups of protesters deny Christians the right to free speech, that is, brothers and sisters, persecution. When Christians are denied the right to practice their values, that's persecution. When our government makes laws that are contrary to biblical laws, that, I'm telling you, is persecution. The majority of people in this country go about their daily lives, working and taking care of their families. If they watch the news, they see violence and riots in big cities and on college campuses. But most don't think those problems will ever come to their neighborhoods. We live in a constitutional republic. We are governed by representatives elected by the people. At least that's what most people think. But now listen to me. For years, those elected to govern have been determined by elite party bosses who even determine who our president will be. Now that was true for a long time, until the American people got sick and tired of the same old politicians doing the same old things, and none of it benefited the American people. Our leaders have worked to turn our country into a socialist country, more and more people being taken care of by the government, bigger government, more national debt, and higher taxes. It had come to the point where we didn't even recognize our own country anymore. Now, I have no political agenda. I want you to understand that, brothers and sisters. It can matter to me whether you are a Democrat or whether you are a Republican, an independent, or anything else. What matters to me is who is upholding God's word. And we should always be for the ones that are correct in what God wants us to adhere to in our lives. You know, when the American people spoke, the message was clear. They wanted the America they loved, the America with limited government, lower taxes and jobs, unable to face defeat, the losers now, listen to what I'm telling you. These people, the losers, were unable to face defeat in this election. They've been doing everything they can to overthrow our president. So far, nothing has worked. Leaks from the White House have been twisted in attempts to discredit our president. Impeachment in Congress. But the thing that disturbs me most is the fierceness of the people who do not support a legitimately elected president. They fit the definition of fierce. Perfectly. Perfectly they fit this definition of fierce, what Paul is talking about in our scripture today. Menacingly wild, savage, or hostile. Violent in force and intensity. They're acting like a bunch of savages in a third world country trying to overthrow a dictator. Now, I want to ask you a question. You listen to me today here. Many people probably today will not like what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you is all true. How many Christians do you think are in this group of fierce, belligerent rebels that I've been talking about? Now listen to me. And this is statistics. Out of 31 religious denominations in this country, only 10 out of 31 lean toward the party of our current president. The majority of people in 21 religious denominations support the party that is in opposition to our current president. Now, why am I talking about this? Why am I so concerned about this? Because, you know, brothers and sisters, twice as many religious denominations in this country support a political party whose platform favors abortion and gay marriage. As Christians, we should all know where the Bible stands on both of these issues. Christians have become like the world, wild, hostile, and intensely violent. This is what Paul was warning Timothy about now. But today, it isn't about a few Christians in a congregation that a pastor may need to counsel about such behavior. It is entire denominations. Why are Christians involved in such things? Now, I've looked at this. I want us to look at it. Think about it. But I know this, in my lifetime, I've been through many presidential elections, but I've never seen one where a major political party refuses to accept the legitimate election results and will do anything to remove this president from office. You know, it seems that people with biblical values, the conservative values, when they're defeated in an election, they don't cry and pout. They plan for the next time and prepare for the hard times that might be coming. They pray to their God, the God that is the God of the Bible. They pray that they might be delivered from hard times. That's what we see out of people that are conservative people, people that adhere to the things that are in the Bible. You know, if liberals don't like the results of an election, though, is what we're seeing, they protest. They violate the free speech of others by going to events or rallies and shouting at the speakers so they won't have an opportunity to express their views. They riot, they vandalize, and destroy the property of others. You know, we've already seen violence and riots in large cities. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, no matter what, we are to be and stand for the things that are good, not the things that are evil. You know, most of what this administration now is promoting is against, and this is what is bothering so many people. It's against things that are of the world. It's for things that are promoted in the Bible, and that's what the Christian should stand for. And like I'm telling you before, I have no political agenda. My agenda is in this Bible, and this Bible tells me what I should be doing each day of my life, and that is promoting God's Word and the conservative values that are taught in the Bible. You know, in our Bible, this Bible, I use the King James Version of the Bible. You use what Bible you want to, but no matter what, in the Bible that God inspired men to write from the time of old is a conservative book. There is nothing liberal about this book. We don't have the liberties to take this book any way we want to. We are to use them in the way that God asked us to use them and told us to use them, commanded us to use them. The next thing that I want to talk to you about is Paul telling Timothy that in the last days, Christians will be despisers of those that are good. Are we not seeing that today? Have you noticed that lately? What has been happening to people who are conservative, Bible-believing Christians? And no matter if you want to call them conservative, whatever you want to call them, but those people that are Bible-believing Christians, they are called right-wing radicals by the extremists. The purpose is to make the extreme beliefs and actions of those who support things like abortion and gay marriage seem normal, so they call it more extreme to believe what the Bible says and do what the Bible says. The Bible, like I told you, is a conservative book. There is no place for liberalisms in it, where you can take the things that are written in the Bible and use them in the way that you want to use them now. But we are seeing that some Christians have become so indoctrinated by Hollywood and the entertainment industry that they don't even realize they've changed evil into good. God says in Isaiah 5:20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Malachi tells the people of Israel that they have wearied the Lord. Wearied the Lord. They ask, "How have we wearied him?" Malachi answers them, "When you say everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord." And now this is scriptures, brothers and sisters. "And he delighteth in them." That's what it says. "Or where is the God of judgment?" The Israelites had turned everything around. They claimed now that the Lord was delighted in the evil they were doing. Since they could see that nothing had happened to them, they asked, "Where is the God of judgment?" In other words, the Israelites were saying, "Since there has been no judgment, God must approve of what we are doing." Now, I'm going to tell you, we know God is long-suffering, but a time of judgment, I'm telling you today now, a time of judgment is coming. And the Bible says that judgment begins at the house of the Lord. In the first chapter of the book of Romans, Paul said that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against his children, who are unrighteous and ungodly because they changed what? The truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. That's exactly what we've done for the past 200 years in this country, ever since the free will doctrine took over religion in this country, and that's what it did. Man has changed the truth of God, the truth of the sovereign God, into a lie and exalted himself with the new free will doctrine that puts man in charge of his salvation. Churches despise the doctrine of God's sovereign grace. That's what we're seeing today. You know what it does? It keeps pastors from exalting themselves and building mega churches. That's what the God's sovereign grace does. It keeps those pastors from lifting themselves up and exalting themselves and building mega churches that rake in millions of dollars. Modern churches have given God a back seat. Modern churches worship and serve man rather than God. Now, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy that in the last days, God's children will be traitors. Traitors. What is a traitor? You know, a traitor is a person who betrays another person, a cause, or a trust. It can also be a person who commits treason by betraying his or her country. No matter how you look at it, it's a betrayal. It's the opposite of loyalty. It's a betrayal when we disrespect our country or the White House, which represents the highest office in our country. When we disrespect the flag or anything that is a symbol of our country. It's a betrayal when women murder their innocent, helpless, unborn children. Now listen to these things that I'm going to tell you about. It's a betrayal when husbands or wives cheat on each other. Now, yeah, you might not like what I'm telling you. I'm telling you of some truths today. It's a betrayal when friends turn on one another. Now, it's a betrayal when employees cheat their employers by carrying off materials that don't belong to them as they leave work to go home. Now, how many people think, "Oh, my boss won't miss a few pencils and packs of papers," or "My boss don't need all these nails and screws. I can take them home and use them on my patio, on my new patio that I'm building." And it's a betrayal now when politicians tell the American people they will do one thing when they are elected, and they do just the opposite. There is very, very little loyalty in the world today, and even less trust. Now, you don't like what I'm telling you. You don't like these things that I'm saying. And people say today, "Well, we can't preach those things. We're going to make people mad." Brothers and sisters, if this offends you and makes you mad, I can't help it. I'm led to this, and the Bible is what leads me to this. God's Word leads me to this. And you might not like what I'm saying, but I'm going to preach it because it is the truth. Now, and you know, then the next thing that the Apostle Paul tells about, now, the next pearl he talks about, and it says he's heady, a person that's heady. How many times now I've wondered what heady meant, but never took the time to look it up, study about what it means. But I'm going to tell you now, we're going to look at what it means. It means destructive, impetuous, impulsive, and headstrong. Do you know Do you know people like this who rush to judgment, don't think things through, are impatient, do things on the spur of the moment without considering the consequences? It comes from people being proud, lovers of self. What was that saying that popped up during the 60s sexual revolution? Those that are old enough to remember that. The saying was, if it feels good, do it. If it feels good, just do it. I think that was the beginning of evil, being turned into good in this country. People didn't worry about what they were doing, whether it was right, whether it would hurt anyone, whether it was appropriate. They didn't worry about these things. None of those things seemed to matter. Just do it. Just do it was the battle cry. People were encouraged to be impulsive, to do things their way, to do things without thinking first. But that attitude now, I'm telling you, it brought consequences. Promiscuous sex, sexually transmitted diseases, unwanted pregnancies, and abortion. When we fail to practice caution, deliberation, and patience, there will be consequences, brothers and sisters, to individuals and also to societies, whole societies, as we know them in this country today. Now, Paul said in the last days now, listen to what he says. Paul says that Christians now, as I'm telling you once again, Paul is talking to and about Christians here. That's who he's talking about, and that they would be high-minded. You know, that's arrogant, conceited, and proud, having a high opinion of themselves. You know, that reminds me of what the Apostle Peter said of false teachers in 2 Peter 2:18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in Turah. You know, we have too many preachers today who have high opinions of themselves. They speak in elegant words, empty of biblical knowledge. They are religious hucksters, seeking fame and fortune. And how many Bible scholars do you know who have published their own study Bible with their name on it, who strive to come up with any doctrine for their own credit and recognition? It has to benefit them. And there are plenty of high-minded Christians who use the church as nothing more than a social club that enhances their standing in society. Now, so many people today, so many people that we see, so many of the pastors that we know, they are afraid to speak up the way I'm speaking here about the things that are contrary to the Word of God, afraid of offending someone. But I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, I'm going to preach the truth that is in the Bible, whether people like it or not. It may offend you, but I can't help it. It is the Word of God that I'm giving you here today. Now, the next pearl that Paul mentions goes right along with what we've been just talking about here now. Paul says, and remember now, he's talking to Christians. Paul says, Christians in the last days will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, why do you think the modern church is full of so many pleasures? Why do you think that we're seeing what we're seeing today? I've wondered so many times, why are we seeing these things brought into the modern churches today? Why is it coming in when nothing in the Bible teaches that we should be doing this in our churches? These swimming pools that are being put in the churches, the tennis courts, the ball games, and the parties, all these things that are brought into our churches today. Now, how many modern churches really get down to serious biblical study and leave these worldly things out of God's church completely? The purpose of the church is to worship and praise an almighty, sovereign God who created the universe and who can do as he pleases with the vessels he has created. He is the potter, we're the clay. But the modern worldly church refuses to acknowledge that fact. They think they have to provide sports, recreation, amusement, and entertainment. Anything of the world today, brothers and sisters, is brought into God's church. This church that we are talking about is the same church here on earth that our Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, went into and turned all the tables upside down. He destroyed those things of the world that were brought into the church. Instead of sober, reverent, worshipful hymns, churches have brought in rock and rap music because that's what people want to hear. That's what these young people especially want to hear. It gives them a good feeling within them. It makes them want to be teeny boppers. It makes them want to dance and do things that are contrary to the Word of God. But do you think it's what God wants to hear? If you don't think worldly pleasures are important to churchgoers these days, now, you think what I'm saying here, you think of what I'm saying is not, it's unfounded, that I don't have any reason for saying this? It's unfounded. Just listen to me now. Just consider this. The typical movie is 120 minutes, and the average person sits through 3 to 10 movies per week, but can't see it, cannot see it 15 minutes for a sermon. Now, many churches offer an early morning service so members will have the whole day for worldly pleasures. That's what it amounts to, worldly pleasures. Paul was right. Christians in these last days, they're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." But the modern church is largely ignored him. The modern church isn't seeking the kingdom of God or his righteousness. Finally, the Apostle Paul says that Christians in the last days will have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The word power, it means authority. It pertains to God's right and authority to rule over the universe and all his creation. Now, modern religion is no different than the religion of the Pharisees. It's an outward religion that denies the authority of God to rule over lives and change them to be holy. Now, Paul says the same thing to another minister named Titus. Paul tells Titus, now, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Men want to be known as being religious, but they will not allow religion to rule over them. They assemble in the name of Jesus, call themselves churches, and do some singing and preaching, but they will not give up their worldly pleasures. You think about it. Study on it. What I'm telling you today, you see anybody that's willing to give up these worldly pleasures for the church? Very few, brothers and sisters. There are some, and I certainly I'm proud that there are. And I give God all the praise that we see those people. But so many people that we're seeing, they love the worldly pleasures more than the things of God. They refuse to demand righteousness and holiness as God does. They see him as a father who is too strict and overbearing. They're like the Israelites that Malachi was talking to. They ask, "Wherein have we wearied God?" Malachi answered, "When you say, 'Everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth them.'" Isn't that what the TV preachers, listen to what I'm telling you now. Listen to what I have to say here. Isn't that what the TV preachers say? God loves you, and God wants you to be happy. That seems to justify every sin imaginable. If it feels good, do it. If it makes you happy, it's okay, because God loves you and wants you to be happy. Isn't that what we're being told by the ministers that we watch on television, a lot of them in the churches today? Will any of those ministers stand up and tell you the truth like I'm telling you, or are they wanting to make you feel good? You know, in our churches today, there's no hard preaching, and that's what I've been telling you. There's no hard preaching against immodest dress, worldly music, carnal friends, premarital sex, disrespect to parents, or off-color jokes. Do you ever hear that preached in your church? Do you hear that the Bible tells us that we're supposed to run from those things? We're supposed to flee from youthful lust. These things, brothers and sisters, we must get away from. But do you hear it preached much? People are afraid. Ministers are afraid to preach it. They're afraid they'll be run off. They're afraid that they might not be hired, that their money might be cut off, that their attendance may go down. If it does, it has to go down because of the fact that God expects his children to be in obedience to him. It is the mistaken notion of preachers and pastors and evangelists today that the purpose of the church is to get people eternally saved. Now listen to me. You won't agree with me. And I know you don't. I heard too many people say, contrary to this, it's a contradiction that they are using worldly methods and attractions to entice people into the church without telling them that God's children are commanded to give up these things in order to live a godly life. Now, the final thing that the Apostle Paul says to Timothy about all these pearls we've been discussing here is from such, turn away. God's children, Christians, are supposed to turn away from these things. Get away from it. Flee from them. Run from them, brothers and sisters. Christians are to turn away from these things. They are to be aware of these things creeping into their lives and get rid of them quickly before they become daily practices. Brothers and sisters, they're like parasites. Once they get upon you, you can't hardly get them off. You have to have something to eradicate them, get rid of them, and you know you must rely upon the Word of God. Paul warns Timothy now, "Yea, and all that we that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." I want to tell you that again now. Paul, he warned Timothy. He warned Timothy, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil and seducers shall wax, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Is that not what we're seeing, brothers and sisters? We need to turn away from those things. That's what I'm telling you today. And you know, why do we need to turn away from them, get away from those things? Because evil men and seducers, they're going to wax worse and worse. And they're going to try and try and try to deceive God's children. How can evil men and seducers wax worse and worse? Well, they can if God's children are living the kind of lives they should be living. Now, the problem is today that Christians, they want religion, but they want it without inconvenience. They want to be assured of their eternal security without having to let go of worldly pleasures. That's why they're so easily deceived by false teachers. False teachers tell them what they want to hear. Paul tells Timothy, though, in the next chapter of this letter, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." That's where we are today, brothers and sisters. Christians refuse to hear sound doctrine. They have turned away from the truth. Now, what can we do? And this is what I started talking to you about today, before today, or in the beginning of today's message, brothers and sisters. What do we need to do as Christians? Because Paul is talking to Christians. I'm talking to Christians here today. What can we do? First, we must recognize what kind of battle we are fighting. Recognize this battle that we're in here today. And we are in a battle, brothers and sisters. What can we do? Paul said in his letter to the church at Ephesus, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." This is a spiritual battle, and we cannot fight it with worldly means. In the next few verses, Paul describes the weapons of our warfare. He says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." You know, we must hold on to the testimony we have from the Holy Spirit, that we're one of His, and let our salvation in the Lord Jesus give us strength as we face the fiery darts of the devil. We must have the truth and the gospel of peace through the Word of God. We must live in faith and walk in righteousness, and we must pray. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, today that is on my mind so much, that God's children must pray to Him that we might be delivered from all these evil things of the world that is trying to infiltrate our societies and pervert this Word of God. And that's what's happening today, brothers and sisters. We must realize that God's Word is being perverted. Perverted, you know, and where is it being perverted? In our churches. Telling people and our failure to tell people of the things that God would have us to do and have us to know, the things that we must adhere to and obey. You know, our lives must reflect the teachings of God's Word. And we need to know about the teachings of God's Word. We need to know about the practices that the children of God should be or must be doing in order to do the things that God tells us to do. We must not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, we must turn away from the pearls that Paul warned Timothy about. We've got to now. We've got to reject the evil that so many Christians have embraced. Now, brothers and sisters, you know, murdering the helpless, innocent, unborn in the womb is evil. That's part of the evil I'm talking about, just part of it. Engaging in sodomy and lesbianism is evil, and you don't like what I'm saying. A lot of people don't like it, and a lot of churches have allowed these things to come in. But I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, the Bible teaches against that. And if the Bible teaches against that, I'm against it. And if those people that are promoting a government that allows this to happen, I'm against that kind of government, brothers and sisters. You know, a lot of people can see that these things are wrong, but they can't see that agreeing with these things is evil. You know, that's the big part of the problem. A lot of people can see that they're wrong, but they don't see if they agree with it and allow it to happen in their churches or in their society. They can't see that it's evil. We must call evil what it is. The Bible tells us that. If Christians don't call evil things evil, then those who call them good will continue to call evil good. Now the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." This is how we are taking care of Christ's bride, by allowing the church to be more influenced by the devil's doctrines of culture and society than by the Word of God. The modern church is a miserable failure in its influence for good in the world. It's promoting a live and let live attitude toward the most vile religions like Islam, while holding hands with the most vile abomination of homosexuality in all its manifestations. That's what's happened in our country more than probably any other country today. We're allowing these things of the world, the things that are evil, to come into our church. And you think I don't have a reason to be preaching about this? The Bible teaches against it, but yet our church are letting these things come in for the convenience of man. The modern church is playing the part of the whore, is what I'm telling you. And it's playing the part of the whore to attract more and more customers with more and more money. Its view of success is a worldly view, measured by the size of the congregation and the treasury. This is not a measurement by God's standards. The true church is built on the written word of God and feeds God's sheep. That's what it does. We don't have to see the effects of our witness. God knows how he is using his children as witnesses to accomplish his purpose. God's true children are the greatest missionary force on earth. They are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That alone is the greatest witness to who Christ is, and God will use it to influence the world much more than the multi-million-dollar world missionary societies ever could. Now, listen to what I'm telling you. While the modern church is a dead church, the church of the living God has life. That's what I'm telling you. The only message that brings life and true holiness is the gospel. Anything else is the devil's doctrines. Now Paul says in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter and the 10th verse, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So in every aspect of our lives, we must be confronted with the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. The life and ministry of the church must be built on the scriptures. The word of God is never inadequate, unnecessary, or untrue. Oh, I'm going to tell you today and now, the scripture is sufficient. It's sufficient for the child of God. It is to instruct us on the things that we are to do, and it will guide us in the right direction. We need to be listening to what God has to say, not listening to men that is bringing world into the society of the church, bringing world into our lives in many places. We see these things of the world coming into our lives, like in the TV and the Hollywood movies that are coming to our theaters or in our homes in the form of TV, internet, all these things that are coming in. But the scriptures tell us what we should be doing. And what makes it even worse is that it's never taught us any different by evangelists and preachers. They don't teach against these things of the world coming into our families and our lives. If all we did in our churches was to preach Christ, the goats that have infiltrated our churches would hate Christ more and more. But the sheep, what would they do? They'd love him more and more. For those that love God, the more they hear the true gospel, the more they love God. You know, this is the effect Christ has on those who belong to Him. The more we hear about His sufferings and death on our behalf, the more humbled we are and the more we worship and adore our risen Lord. Now, pastors who have defiled Christ's bride by allowing the preaching of carnal doctrines to replace the preaching of Christ's gospel should be in great fear of Christ's return. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter and the 5th verse, he says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Now, I suppose you could apply that to a church as well. Examine your church. Is it a reprobate church? Does your church preach Christ? Or do you hear more entertaining stories than Scripture? Is your church always begging for money? Are there things in your church that are of the world? Are your church leaders always coming up with things of the world to bring people into the church? Do you go to church on Super Bowl Sunday to watch a ball game? Does your pastor say anything when the youth come to church with more skin? Now, this bothers me bad. But does your pastor ever say anything when these youth come in with more skin showing than there is covered parts of their body? Is your church a defiled bride? Or is your church full of the salt of the earth and the light of the world? God's instructions for the church in the Scriptures are not guidelines. They're not guidelines. They're commands, brothers and sisters. Outside of these commands, everything else is carnal. Now, Christ will seek His lost sheep and add them to the church. We must concentrate on being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Only then can we engage in the spiritual warfare that increases every day and be able to fight off the wiles of the devil. We must consecrate ourselves to the task ahead and be ready to meet the enemy head on. We cannot allow those who protest against good to destroy this country. If that happens, there will be no freedom of religion or freedom of speech. We will be like the rest of the world, governed by godless people who will force us to live in bondage. You know, I've said many times that we've been given a reprieve. A reprieve since this new administration has gone in. I don't know how much longer we have until God will turn the savages loose to take over this country. That depends on us. Depends on us, brothers and sisters. As Christians, are we living the way we should? Are we choosing righteousness and holiness over the ways of the world? Are we humble and repentant of our part in this mess we're in? It's up to God's children to pray that God will guide our leaders and thwart the plans of the evil ones. You know, brothers and sisters, I've thought so many times about this in the last several days, especially since we started this series of sermons. You know, we must be thinking about what is more good than what is more evil. So many times today, we're seeing people that are upholding evil, that pretend to be Christians, that tell us that they're Christians, supposed to be living like Christians, but they're upholding things that are evil. These things that are promoted in our society, the laws that are contrary to the Word of God, we're seeing these people, no matter what denomination they are, no matter what political parties they belong to, they want, as long as it's their political party, they want to uphold it. It don't matter if it is contrary to the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, you need to uphold the things that are less evil, the things that are more good. You know, the Bible can tell you what those things are. I don't have to tell you, but we need to be reminded each day of our lives. And we need to pray that God, through His mercy and grace, will grant us these things that the child of God is supposed to enjoy in this life here upon this earth. Because it is a very short period of time. And brothers and sisters, you know, I'm looking forward to being with you each week. And I certainly pray that each one of you will benefit from these things that are said here today. You take these things into account and think about them. And brothers and sisters, if you need to talk to us, if you need to say anything to us, you get in touch with us at Ritter Farms. May the Lord bless you in these things today.